Epistle of Paul the Apostle to Titus, chapter 3, verse 1. Put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work, to speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. For we ourselves also were sometime foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving diverse lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But after that the kindness and love of God our Savior towards man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Now, again, we just got off that last chapter. I hope you're listening in succession, with chapter 2. Because some people would like to pervert the gospel. Now they get here and they say, see, look, it's not by righteousness which we have done. No. You understand? The kindness and love of God does not appear because we're righteous. Look at them. They're so good. I just love them. I love those people. Look at all the good works they do. No, but while we were yet sinners, Christ chose us. It's not because we were righteous. It's not because we are better. It's because of his own purposes. And his own just purposes which he purposed in himself. I mean, I can't search that out. Why does God choose? It has to do with the way he's created. It's just his creation. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, unto righteousness. The righteousness which we come is not, you know, again, we have to be righteous. Not in order to gain the kindness and love of God. If that was the case, we'd never be saved. No, we have to be righteous because the kindness and love of God towards us is to make us that way. Now in verse 1, I had to say, as it's just flowing out of me, but in verse 1, he starts off saying, you know, we got to be subject to the powers, the earthly powers. I think he has in mind the principalities, to obey magistrates. You got to go obey the law to be ready to every good work. You know, we don't want to be evil spoken of. You go tearing around town, you know, and then you get a bad reputation, and then you start preaching the gospel to say, that guy's the jerk who nearly ran us over. You know, you gotta be, where you walk towards other people and towards the people in your country, you know what? You know, as we gotta walk in such a way that we're blameless, that the gospel of Christ be not blasphemed. So maybe it's a mistake for me to admit correcting to my children as I have, you know, because people say, look at you, you know, but I gotta do what's right in the sight of God. So, people are going to blaspheme the name of Christ for the good that we do, but let it be for good. Not because we broke some petty law of theirs, that it's not good or evil. You know, like buckle your kids in. They ought to be buckled in according to the law, because if they're not, you're going to be in disobedience to magistrates. And they look at you in a certain way because of the thing, you know, and it's not righteousness. Let me be spoken evil of for righteousness, for doing right. Not for just because I disobeyed one of their stupid little laws. You know, like that guy, I was going to say, that guy always smokes in the no smoking section. I don't smoke. I used to. And I don't think any man should smoke, because smoking is an obvious form of bondage. I mean, it's an addictive drug. And that anything that you need and you feel like, you know, that I remember I would go crazy without it. You know, that's sin. You know, anything that holds you that powerfully is sinful. Doesn't have to be, creating in sobriety to be sinful. And what a joy it was to become free from that. Thank you, Lord. Okay, speak evil of no man. Don't be a blasphemer. That's what that speak evil here is blaspheme in Greek. Blaspheme no man. Not only do we not blaspheme God, we don't blaspheme other men. Now, reconcile that, though. Consider the fact. God is good. Anything evil said about God is blasphemy. Corrupting the doctrine of Christ is also blasphemy, as far as I'm concerned. A form thereof. The Apostle Paul, in the epistles to Timothy, he actually names, he says, Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. You know? Beware of him. Now, is he blaspheming Alexander? No, he's speaking the truth. Like if I say, so-and-so is a false teacher. You know, or I speak of all the teachers of Christianity on TV and radio as being false. All the ones I've ever seen, and I've seen a lot of them. From, you know, the mainline guys to the fringe guys, like my old teacher. You can read all about that on oraclesofgod.org, the ministry I used to study under, and how I came to reject that. A lot of fables in there, right? So, some would say, well, you're blaspheming them. Well, if it's a lie, yeah. And another, or not so much, even if it's true. Here's a deeper righteousness. Listen to me. Something can be true of someone that's bad, right? But it's there's no reason for you to be telling people, you know? And it's one thing if a guy is out there deceiving people and preaching a false gospel. That has to be exposed, okay? Absolutely. Paul the Apostle himself instructs in Romans, and without any contradiction, understand, he says, mark them. He says to mark people, you know? That means you identify them, make a positive ID on those which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned. And avoid them. They don't serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Sorry, I got this sinus condition again. So, mark these people. On the other hand, don't speak evil of people. Well, what is the sense, Paul? What are you getting at? All right, it's right to do that. I think I've established that. Now, let's say someone is, there's something that is not